Hello there, and welcome again to the Psychology Report. This is part two on my topic of insomnia. Now, it'd be good if you have already listened to part one. And if you have not, I would certainly encourage you to access it through the archives. Just go to my website on the psychologyreport.buzzsprouts.com and access the last program on insomnia, part one. Now I'll go on to part two, but I'll just summarize just a few points from part one and you get a little flavor of that. But today what I'd like to do is to give you, maybe 15 different points about how to sleep, how to overcome insomnia, how to improve your sleep patterns and your sleep experience so that you get better quality of sleep, not quantity of sleep. Remember, that was a point we made yesterday on our part one. It's not the quantity. You don't need 8 hours, 10 hours. What you need is quality sleep. When you have quality sleep, you know, your sleeping patterns are quite adequate at around 6 or 7 hours. So quality is very important. And how you approach the sleeping pattern is good. What you do prior to going to bed at night is very important. That you reserve your bed for sleep and not for eating and television watching and arguing and fighting and other kinds of contrary kind of behavior patterns. If you're going to take a nap, do it a power nap. 1 hour, about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon is okay. But if you're sleeping more than that, that's for depression purposes. But if you want to get some rest and you want to improve your brain and help your brain heal, if you've been in an illness kind of a situation or an injury situation, you know, sleep about an hour, take a nap, set your alarm, and then get up and get going. And so a nap is not so bad if it's only 1 hour long. But anyway, insomnia affects about 13% of the population. More women have difficulty sleeping than do men. And those that are over age 55 have more difficulty sleeping than those under age 55. And if you have an illness, you have a major medical problem of some kind that interferes with good sleeping patterns, that's understandable. And there's two things. One is you got to learn how to sleep better anyway, and do what you can to improve your health. So certainly your state of health, as well as your state of mind. If you're anxious and depressed and nervous and scared and frightened and worried, you're going to have trouble sleeping. So you got to learn how to take care of those things. If you have bad dreams, nightmares that keep you up, you got to take care of those things. In other words, there's a need for maybe some therapy or some counseling, maybe consulting a variety of different professionals. Get some advice, get some ideas, put them together, and find your answer. The answer is not in a professional. The answer is not in somebody else. The answer is within you. But you can get some ideas. You can get some general consensus that you may be able to employ in your attempts to sleep. Now, let's take a look at the issues of some of the sleep strategies. How do you fall asleep? What are some of the hints? Okay? Well, if you're an exerciser, exercise in the morning and afternoon, but don't do heavy exercise at night. If you're going to hang at night, make it a very relaxed, even stroll, some relaxation activity. That would be okay at night. Do not consume caffeine or alcohol or stimulants of any form after 6 p.m. Now, there is some reason to believe that herbal teas are helpful. And if you have a herbal tea at night, that may be helpful for you to fall asleep better. There are some teas that have a little bit more of a sedative effect. But stay to the herbal teas and stay to the teas that have less caffeine in them, because that you obviously want to minimize your caffeine. So don't drink coffee, don't drink sodas, anything with caffeine. That includes cigarettes and alcohol and things that have stimulating effects, you know, on your body. Don't eat a large meal before going to bed either. Light evening meals are better. If you have a large meal, have it at noon. And or if you have it early in the evening if possible, but not late at night, okay? Now be careful in your pre-bedtime routine. Listen to music. Do some relaxation exercises. Just have some casual conversations. Keep the argument, keep the debate, keep the conflict down in the evening hours, because that will interfere with your sleep. You're going to have discussions as a marital couple or with somebody. Have that earlier in the day if you can, or in the morning, and have that early evening, but not late at night, and certainly not in the bedroom. That's not the place for conflict. That's a place for relaxation and calmness. especially if you have a sleeping problem, okay? If you don't fall asleep within 20 minutes, I already mentioned this the other day too in part one, but if you don't fall asleep within 20, 30 minutes, get up, get out of bed, and go do something. Come back to bed in about 20, 30 minutes and try to fall asleep. If you don't fall asleep, get up again and repeat that until you do fall asleep. And you repeat that night after night, and eventually you'll begin to fall asleep. Most people fall asleep within 10 nights of doing that kind of an activity. But many do it after two or three nights. They begin to see that sleep pattern emerge. But it might take 10 nights. But, you know, that's a kind of a nice little routine and a pattern, you know, to follow. Make sure you go to bed at the same time every night, whether you slept or not the night before. Maybe you didn't sleep at all, but still honor your bedtime. Go to bed at the same time every night, sleep or not, and get a routine going. Get your body into a routine. Sleep the same number of hours. If you sleep 6 hours, try to keep it around 6 hours, 6-7 hours. Usually if you're an 8-hour sleeper, try to keep it between 7 and 8 or 9 hours. And let's just try to maintain a hourly sleep pattern, okay? Now, if you have apnea, that means you're snoring, you're gasping for air in the middle of the night, you awaken, you have tremors, you have kind of a shock, kind of an effect on the body, a lot of noise, a lot of breathing difficulty, awakenings, going to sleep, awakenings, going back to sleep, awakening. If you really have a restless night like that and you're doing a lot of that noisy kind of sleep, you may want to consult a sleep clinic in your community. There are a lot of sleep clinics around. Find one that you would feel comfortable going to or feel that you respect and ask for a referral, if you will, and go and get an assessment. Most insurance companies cover that. So you're really having deep difficulties in your sleeping. That may be part of the answer. It may just be because of an oxygen kind of a issue or the amount of air that you are able to take in and let go in the course of your breathing routine. Okay, also, use imagery. You know, imagery is good to help go to sleep. Some people use a burning candle. You know, they just kind of imagine a candle burning down and down, and they go to sleep with it. Some people have the imagery of a mattress that's just soft and sinking downward. Some people use a kind of a pre-hypnotic thing of kind of just letting their body go into a floating kind of an experience, or into an evaporation kind of an experience. But just let it go and let your body go. Some just kind of feel, let the weight of your body go down into the mattress and feel down. And you kind of keep saying to yourself, down, 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 or heavy, heavy. And use some of these kind of what we call pre-hypnotic exercises. It kind of helps the sleep pattern if you can get into some of those and use them. Try different ones. Find the ones that work for you. Again, nobody has an answer for you. You've got to come up with the answer. We have a lot of ways that people can fall asleep and use for sleep. But you got to pick the ones that will work for you. And you got to try different ones so that you eventually overcome the issue of insomnia. Use muscle relaxation. Remember, muscles are like rubber bands. If you tighten them, that's like stretching a rubber band. And as you let go very slowly of those muscles, of the arms, the chest, the shoulders, the neck, the face, stomach, you know, throughout the upper body, as you let go of those muscles, it's kind of like letting go of a rubber band, and it returns to its natural position, which is a state of relaxation. So you do that for about 5 or 10 minutes. Try to sleep. Maybe do it for another 5 or 10 minutes. And just let yourself go to sleep with it. And using kind of a relaxation strategy, along with imagery and maybe words that would help you, words of peace, calm, tranquility, let go, easy does it. There's just a lot of words that are associated with relaxation and letting go. The word relax, imagine it in your eyes. Imagine it written on the eyelids. Imagine it written on the ceiling over your bed. Just have different ways that you can provoke kind of an idea of letting go and relaxing and falling asleep. But make sure that whatever you do it in a very systematic, you know, kind of way, and do it not just once or twice or three times. You know, commit yourself to doing these things for a month. And then you can determine whether they work or not. You can't do it for a day or two or three and then say, well, it didn't work. I mean, that's being ridiculous. And it's not certainly serving the best interest, you know, for yourself. But whatever problem you have and whatever approach you have in terms of your sleep, do it. Commit yourself to it for weeks, and then assess whether that has been helpful or not. And keep changing your routine. Keep using these different strategies. Use different ones until you find the one that kind of works for you. And once you get your sleep pattern better established, then you don't have to use all these techniques. You'll just kind of fall asleep because it'll become more natural. But it will take maybe 3 months for you to really break your current pattern of sleep and develop a more healthy and normal and restful and quality sleep pattern. So but make sure your bed is identified as a place for sleeping, not for eating and not for arguing and not for television watching and all the other things. Just keep it identified for one particular purpose, and you will find yourself much more likely, you know, to rest and to, you know, fall asleep. So those are some of the things you may want to do. And here's the thing that you just have to understand. This is about your brain now, okay? And how your brain interacts with the sleep pattern. Your left side of the brain is kind of sequential. That deals with things that you do in order and sequence, like counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, or seeing things in the course of the day as it unfolded chronologically in the morning, afternoon, and evening. That all kind of is left brain activity as you think about it and as you recall and as you memorize and you remember things that happened during the day. When you do it sequentially, you're using the left side of your brain. That's okay. But you have to remember the right side of the brain is more circular. That has to do with more about imagery. That has to do with more visual imageries and where you can see the alphabet as you say it. You can see the numbers as you identify them. You can see the problem as you talk about it in a sequential way. You can see the events of your day and how they unfolded and how they came into your life and how you dealt with them and so on. You do that on the right side of the brain. So when you engage your brain in kind of different activities, you're always going back and forth between right and left, right and left, right, right, left, 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 right. You know, you're going back and forth all the time. And maybe at night when you are trying to sleep, you can put your brain into an activity that would interfere with deep thoughts of anxiety and fear and conflict and trauma, you know, the stuff that just kind of keeps you awake, the worry stuff that keeps you awake. So as you lie there in bed, just kind of do the sequential thing. Do the count, but see the numbers written on the board. Do the alphabet, but see them written in color and see them written in different shapes. Remember your kindergarten days when you were learning the alphabet and see how they were written and how they're written on the board. And but say them as you kind of imagine that, you say? And go through your events of the day if you want to, what you did in the morning, but kind of imagine yourself doing them, seeing yourself doing them, so that you're using both sides of the brain, so that the brain doesn't have time, doesn't have opportunity to dwell on some of the anxiety thoughts that otherwise you'd have. So that's kind of another little strategy, but it's a little bit more difficult because you got to really think how your brain works and make it work for you. Make it work for you so you have better sleep patterns than you would otherwise. So that's kind of a nice way, you know, to do it. And then lastly, I would just say this. Keep your snacks down at night. It's just like a big meal. Don't have a big meal at night. But don't have snacks at night either. But certainly stuff that is of a stimulating nature or that has amphetamines in it of any kind. You want to minimize that kind of intake in the late afternoon, early evening, and into the night. So keep your food and keep your intake as mild and as non-stimulating, you know, as you possibly can. Now, take all those kind of ideas and work them. Pick the ones that will work. Try them different ones and find the ones that kind of work for you and then stay with them. But whatever you do, commit yourself to the next month of working on an improved sleep pattern so you can say in the morning, I had quality sleep. That you can operate during the day with more stamina and more energy and more strength and more determination and more willpower, if you will. So go for it. Insomnia is not a good thing, but you can overcome it. You can retrain your brain. You can retrain your sleep patterns. You're not stuck with insomnia. You're not stuck with a bad pattern of sleep. If you don't do anything about it, you're probably stuck with it. But if you do something about it, you can get rid of it. You can modify it or moderate it. And even if you sleep better than what you are now, that's even worth it. Then if you don't sleep perfectly well, but if you sleep a lot better, be thankful. That's a blessing, okay? It's a blessing to me to have a sleep pattern, to be able to sleep anywhere and anytime at any length of period of time it might be. But I know that a lot of people don't have that opportunity. But sleep is important. And as I said in part one, if you don't sleep well, if you go for years having insomnia, years having sleep apnea, you know, you're advancing the possibility of early dementia and Alzheimer's. That's one of the outcomes of poor sleep patterns. So it should motivate you to get on with the deal of getting your sleep more regulated and get into a quality sleep and a good sleep. And don't worry about how many hours you actually sleep. But besides that, obviously, your day's productivity is affected by your sleep, your work patterns, your work attendance, your social relationships, you know, your energy level, your focus, your attention, especially if you have attention deficit disorder. Man alive, you better get a better sleep pattern. You see, all those things are affected if you don't have a good sleep pattern. So why live that way? If you can focus on getting better sleep, you're going to heal yourself. Sleep patterns that are of a quality kind have much more healthiness to them. That heals unhealthiness of our bodies. Those of you that have chronic diseases and chronic illnesses or long-term illnesses, the sleep patterns, if you can improve it, will improve your health. So you've got to improve that brain, and that will improve your health. So see that there's a connection between your sleep patterns and your relationships, your work productivity, your thought patterns, your focus, your creativity. All those kind of things are affected by your sleep. So get with it. Hope these are helpful ideas, and do listen to part one if you haven't heard it already. But pick up part one and part two, and you know, pass it on to somebody that you know has a sleep problem. Just forward the psychology report, this particular edition, forward it to them and have them listen to it. Maybe it'll be helpful to them. Be helpful to somebody else by passing it along. I guess that's the point I'm trying to say. Okay, hey, go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. Check the book out, Achieving and Maintaining a Healthy Lifestyle in a World of Stress. If you've got a sleep problem, there's your book. It will not just be for sleep purposes, but for your whole general health, and that you can achieve a health pattern, and you can maintain a healthy lifestyle, despite the fact that you live in a world of stress. Booksbyhedberg.com. Nice to have you with me, and see you again. Bye for now.